Window World, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at windowskansascity.com.
We've reaffirmed this week that we have the best listeners anywhere here at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, as I've just received a ton of feedback about this Amtrak crash in Minden, Missouri, from people who live in the area and listen to the podcast, and people that work in the railroad industry that know much about this. And I thought today would be a great day to share some of this really interesting information about a terrible, tragic event that took place. The death count is now 4. We know that a lot of people were injured. We've heard heroic stories about the Boy Scouts who were traveling on that train that had been to the awesome Boy Scout camp in New Mexico and were traveling back from there. And some of the really terrific responders and rescuers that took place on what is just a horrific looking scene, and a description of the crossing and numerous crossings in the area, in a rural area that are not paved roads, that do not have lights, that do not have signals, do not have crossbars, arms that come down, in a very dangerous piece of track that goes, well, it allows 90-mile-an-hour trains. It allows Amtrak to go 90 miles an hour. That doesn't mean this one was at that point, but it may have been. There'll be a full study. We'll learn a lot more as the National Transportation Safety Board gets involved and they review everything that took place. There's almost no doubt we're going to get signals at these crossings now. And it just seems a shame that we see this over and over in our society. We know things that are dangerous. We know things that are wrong. We do nothing about them until somebody dies. And then we do something about them and it's too late. We heard from a couple of the farmers in the area in local news reports that said they have been working for a couple of years to get signals there. There is confusion over the responsibility of this, whether it belongs to the railroad, whether it belongs to MoDOT. I've got conflicting information that's come in from listeners to the podcast in the area and what they believe and people who work with the railroads. But the bottom line is it doesn't matter who's responsible. This should have taken place. This is obviously very dangerous to have a high-speed train flying through rural areas of Missouri where we have dirt road or gravel road crossings with no signals. It makes no sense. We did a patron podcast on the transportation crisis that we have in this country. We had hundreds more flights canceled on Tuesday. There's a lack of staff. Some 28,000 airline employees are missing from the talent pool in America because of the pandemic, because of the slowdown in that. The airlines were bailed out. Government sent them $50 billion plus dollars to keep their employees on. Employees were paid to not work when there was no work to be done. And now that there's work to be done and that is dried up, they've decided they don't want to go back to an industry that, by the way, doesn't look all that fun to work in. I get it. I understand why a lot of pilots retired early, took the money and ran, said, we're out of here. We'll work less, maybe even make less, do some private flights, things like that, but not this rat race that is transportation in this country. We're asleep at the wheel. Pete Buttigieg is in charge of our transportation. He's the transportation secretary. The guy couldn't run a small town in Indiana as mayor, and he's the transportation secretary. We wonder why things have gone haywire. Then events like this pop up. We had an Amtrak derailment on Sunday in California, one on Monday in Missouri. I don't understand how we're at this place. It seems like we have more and more bad things going on in mass transportation in America than ever before. Our country's bigger than ever before. Maybe we have more people traveling now. I've not read anything that indicates we have more people traveling now than pre-pandemic. I know that it's roaring back and a lot of people have the appetite to travel, but I find it very hard to believe that we're where we were in July of 2019, 3 years ago, before the pandemic. I don't believe it. And yet we have mayhem everywhere. So we'll start with a gentleman, and we're not going to use names here on either of these. I picked these two out because the second is a person that I've been in contact with before that works in the railroad industry that was very worried about losing their job because they weren't going to take the vaccine. And it worked out. I think that he and his wife are both in the industry, and they didn't lose their jobs. We'll save his for second because it's different than the first. This is Well, I'll just read the full email. This is from a gentleman who lives very near where this accident occurred. And he listens to the podcast every day. He says, Kevin, I grew up 12 miles to the east of where that train derailed in Minden when my parents moved to the place they live now in 1985. I currently live in Macon. I work in Salisbury, so this is an area very familiar to me and a place that I call home. The issue with these crossings has been a problem for decades. In the rural areas of Missouri, there are many dirt roads that cross tracks. This is for ease of travel for farmers and their equipment, and simply because the roads were here before the railroad tracks were there, in most cases, is why we have these crossings. A large majority of these crossings do not have lights or bars, but simply a railroad crossing sign like you would, you know, just see on the side of the road. The railroad company has been pressured to get lights and bars at these crossings for years, but it's fallen on deaf ears. In Salisbury, where I work, approximately 25 miles from the wreck, we had two farm accidents that involved trains at one specific crossing that took the life of both farmers roughly 5 years apart, one of which was my brother's best friend since grade school. He left a wife and two young boys behind. They have not made any changes to that crossing where we had fatalities. My dad, on the other hand, is a lucky man. He was struck by a train in January of 2006 when his FedEx P&D truck was struck at a crossing in Clarence, Missouri, where there were no lights or bars. This one is in a town that he lived to tell about it, even though his body flew 80 feet in the air parallel to the track where the truck was struck on the front axle hood area. He was able to survive because the person who was at the house near that intersection where it occurred was a first responder and had just that day been approved to carry oxygen tanks on his person. We took the railroad to court over this and won a settlement from the company, and they were forced to put lights and bars in at that intersection. The railroad companies will not act unless forced to do so by the courts, and unfortunately, we are the ones who suffer. I avoid any crossings now that don't go over or under railroad tracks. Wow, so he doesn't even trust the lights and the bars that come down. These people all have stories of fatalities that we just... Okay, so the reason this got so much attention is the train derailed. I'm assuming on these other fatalities, trains hit cars, people die, but the train doesn't derail. They move on and continue about their business or whatever, and it doesn't get as much attention as a derailment of a train. So this became a bigger story because this train derailed. It hit a big dump truck, obviously at a high speed. Four people have died, and it's getting national attention, and there will be a major investigation into what's going on. There is plenty of confusion about, you know, where this is going from here and who's responsible. We have a situation where basically some Missouri representatives, people in politics, believe that MoDOT is responsible for this, and the state of Missouri needs to act and act quickly. There could be hundreds of these intersections. It is described that this train, this Amtrak train, was on the route from Kansas City to Chicago. This track runs diagonally. It doesn't run along like I-70, okay? So this runs diagonally. It's headed to Chicago. It is described as the I-70 of railroad shipping, that this is a high-speed rail that runs through so many rural areas that every 6 minutes or so, a big freight train comes through that is shipping things, whether it's coal or goods or merchandise or whatever. That's what this is, running through these small towns in Missouri and all the way to Chicago. There's also an Amtrak train that runs there, and it is certified to go 90 miles an hour. There is no hope at all for the conductors, the engineers on the train. There's no hope. No hope. At that speed, there's nothing you can do. You see it, you hit it, you derail. It's got to be scary as hell for the engineers of these trains to roll through these places at these speeds. And trains go through, the important thing, it's a double track where this accident occurred. Every 6 minutes or so, another train comes through. It's a double track. They're about 12 minutes behind each other, but they're going two different ways. I mean, it's amazing. So I received this, and this is from a gentleman who works in the railroad industry. And I had emailed him and been in contact with him previously during the pandemic as he was not going to get the vaccine. He says very nice words about the podcast. I won't read those, but I do want to share with you what he had to say about me discussing this Amtrak accident. He said, "Kevin, I heard the podcast today, and I want to say it's very unfortunate that it takes a death or deaths to get the railroads to respond or spend a nickel on anything, but that's how they operate." It's a man who works in the industry. They are completely responsible for cutting all the brush at any right-of-way. Usually, it's so we, and I'm assuming he's an engineer, Usually it's so we can see signals. But with the PTC, positive train control system, I think they think they can get away with less brush cutting because the onboard computer shows signals. With crossings, though, we don't have anything that can help in this scenario, like a farmer or a combine or something unable to see around a corner for a freight train barreling down the track at 50 to 70 miles an hour or Amtrak, which goes up to 90 miles an hour. It's the scariest part of the job, especially with these ungated and sometimes crossings we don't have to blow the horns for. Okay, private crossings don't require horn blows. So if they don't know there's a crossing coming, there's no light, there's no gate, they don't blow horns in advance of these crossings because they don't see them either. They're going fast. There's brush, trees, corn, there's all kinds of stuff. This gentleman says, I think a lawsuit is coming here. If the farmer story is true about repeatedly warning BNSF Railroad about these crossings. I think that's right. I think there's going to be a lot of lawsuits here, and I think MoDOT should get involved. And I'm a big believer in private business and private business, you know, doing things the right way. But it sounds like there's every possibility that BNSF or the railroads have said, this is part of the cost of doing business. We're going to have trains hit cars. We're going to have accidents. It's too expensive to put lights and bars and everything at every place all over the country. That may be the case, but I mentioned this yesterday and I'll keep saying it. If we have $60 billion to send to Ukraine, cash money, arms, weapons, all this stuff, if we have all of that for the Ukrainians, we definitely can put in railroad crossings. We're capable of that in the United States of America. We can do this. And I think this is probably a bigger story than people know. We don't think about this much, and I wouldn't be talking about this. If this happened in New Mexico, we wouldn't be talking about it. But it happened an hour from Kansas City. There were people from Kansas City on the train. Everything in America is local, essentially. So when something happens in your backyard and you look at it and you go, wow, this is where we live. We have lots of rural areas, lots of farmland. You know, we see trains when we're on I-70 or I-35. There's trains that run parallel east-west along I-70. We see them in many places. And we tend to think that those are the only train tracks. We're like, oh, that's safe. Look, it never crosses I-70. It runs parallel to I-70. Nobody crosses that track. Well, we don't think about all these towns. You know, you don't think about going through, you know, if you're off I-70 and you're headed to Wamego, you're going to cross the railroad tracks to get there. Everybody who lives in these towns crosses the tracks to get to I-70 or to one of these thoroughfares. That's not what this is. That's way safer. If you live in Wamego and you're headed to the interstate and you cross the railroad track, you have a signal. You have a signal. I still, to this day, stop at an intersection with a signal. I slow down and I visually get to a point where I can see if there's a train coming. I just always have. It annoys people behind me. It always does. But you're going to trust your life to the signal working? I can't go there. I slow down in stoplight intersections. You know, if I'm going through something at 95th and Metcalf and my light is green and I'm doing 45 miles an hour and it's green, I'm slowing down to 30, 35 to go through the intersection. I want to, with peripheral vision, see if somebody is not paying attention and maybe headed into that intersection. It may not keep me from getting hit, but it may keep me from getting hit and not know it or T-boned or something right where I am. I may be able to do something to make it a lesser crash. I do. I drive like that. And I don't drive slow. I'm not some little putterer. I pass people. I get in the left lane. I drive fast on interstates when I'm driving to, you know, Manhattan or Columbia or St. Louis or something like that. I'm a passer. I don't just get in the right lane and drive 5 miles below the speed limit. That's not me. But man, the railroad intersections have always been just like, there's nothing you can do. If the train's coming, it can't avoid you. And do you trust this light to work? And now we have people saying, it doesn't matter. They're not going to fix it. They're not going to do anything about this. I think we have a really bad situation in a lot of our rural areas. And it's time to, you know, this is interstate travel. This does involve the federal government and transportation. And we have plenty of money. And is the state of Missouri responsible? Perhaps at some level. Is the railroad responsible? Perhaps. Is Amtrak responsible? Perhaps. Is the federal government? Perhaps. Perhaps it's all of them. but something needs to be done. And I want to thank all of you that sent me emails that live in that area. And I'll just say this on behalf of most listeners of this podcast, we had no idea. We had no idea that if you live near Mendon, Missouri, within a few miles of it, you know people that have died from train crashes, that that's a way of life, that that's part of living there. I had no idea. I've got people emailing me about all these deaths that have occurred, the injuries, the accidents that are so routine that don't derail trains. They just kill the people in the car, that it's a way of life. And it struck me when this gentleman said, I only cross a train track by going under it or over it. I just, eye-opening, truly eye-opening. We appreciate you all very much for letting us know. KKHI is brought to you by Advanced Medical Imaging in Lawrence. Get your MRI or CT scan today or tomorrow instead of 3 weeks down the road. Why would you wait? All major insurance is accepted. Healthcare is a mess in these big corporate situations. Get out of that. If your doctor says you need to be scanned, you need an MRI or a CT scan, go to Advanced Medical Imaging. You may drive a little farther, but you're going to get it done now. If you have something and you need to see if you have something, why would you wait 3 weeks? Don't do it. Log on to medimageks.com. And don't forget, they offer heart scans for your plaque score under $100 that sees all the organs in your torso. This is not an insurance play. This is your money out of pocket. It's less than $100 at Advanced Medical Imaging. Get your heart scan, folks. Do this. Anybody 40 or older should do this at some point. If you have a history of heart disease, this is your, I don't know why insurance doesn't cover this, but it doesn't. But Advanced Medical Imaging will do this for you right now, like this week. They'll schedule you right away and get you in and do your heart scan for under $100. Log on to medimageks.com. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC. It's a great holiday weekend to go to Roberts Robinson and check out their great lineup of new cars, trucks, and SUVs. Don't forget, you get the lifetime warranty, and they have great financing options available right now. Or build your own like I did. My Chevy Blazer was custom built just for me. Came to the dealership. I went. I loved it. Picked it up. Drove it home. It's a fantastic way to buy a car. You get all the incentives and all the discounts that way. Received an email this morning from a gentleman who has a Ford F-150 and he wants to sell it. I think maybe it's a third car. I think he and his wife, maybe it's a third. He says, is Roberts Robinson buying? I said, of course they're buying. They'll pay you top dollar for your trade-in or if you just want to sell your vehicle. Any good, reliable, used vehicle, they want to buy it from you. These are great folks. Give them a call. Tim Trader's the man to ask for at robertsrobinson.com. BeStock.net has a steal of a deal on 65-inch Neos by Samsung. They just got these. They cost a ton to ship. So people can buy these online, but then the shipping cost is crazy. Okay? They got a bunch of these. Here's the deal. They want to sell them locally because the shipping could be $300. If you live locally, there is no shipping. You can pick it up. It's a brand new TV. You're going to save big. These 65-inch Neos by Samsung are $1,400 at Best Buy and Samsung's website. $1,400. KKHI listeners, $899. I mean, you're kidding. It's over $500 off a brand new Samsung. It's a remarkable deal. BeStock.net. And of course, my buddy Tim over at Cross Kitchens KC. They'd love the opportunity to sit down with you and your family and discuss your remodeling project, kitchen, bath, whatever it may be. This is a great, small, family-owned business. His craftsmen, the people who do the work for him, have been with him for years. This is hands-on owner of the company, watching every minute detail of your job. That's the way to go when it comes to something as important as remodeling your kitchen. CrossKitchensKC.com. So I played in a nine-hole golf league yesterday at Falcon Valley, a wonderful nine-hole golf course in Lenexa, very near where I live. My friend, Power Cat Tony, has had a league on Tuesday nights for more years than I can count. And I always teased him through the years when I was doing the radio show that, man, the weather's always good on Tuesday. I would get off work around 6 o'clock, and I would drive by. I would go right by the course on the way home, and I would see them out there playing. The league starts usually in the 4 or 5 o'clock hour. And, of course, I could never play because I was working. And the running joke for years was, wow, Every Tuesday night is just the best weather, and I'm so jealous when I drive by. You guys are out there having fun playing golf, and I couldn't do it. Well, now I can. And I don't play in the league every week. I told Tony, I'm just going to be a fair weather golfer. Well, 84 and sunny on a Tuesday seemed just about right. So we play and we have a good time and we get done and they got a wonderful little, it's more of a bar. It's not really a restaurant. They grill burgers and hot dogs and then put them in the warmer inside. So there's hamburgers and hot dogs available. But there's free popcorn, cold beer inside. It's a mom and pop deal. A couple of local guys own this 9-hole course. It's a great deal of fun. So we're in there afterwards and we're having a cold beer. And of course, people now come up to me, and as much as they like to talk about sports, they like talking about politics. And everybody was talking about the Value Them Both initiative amendment that's on the ballot August 2nd in Kansas. And I could not believe, and I'm not picking on anyone here, I could not believe the confusion over abortion. I'm telling you, everyone seems to know that there's a question on the ballot August 2nd in Kansas. I couldn't find one person that knew exactly what it is. They didn't know whether to vote yes or no. Most everyone was in agreement that they're for it, okay? But they didn't know whether that was a yes, no, or a no vote. These were mostly conservative men who believe that we should have to pass laws in Kansas regarding abortion, that the liberal Supreme Court in Kansas should not be able to just mandate whatever our laws are. Like Kansas right now is open for abortion. They're pouring in from Texas and Missouri. Abortion clinics in Kansas are overwhelmed right now from places that had trigger laws. Women are pouring in, and they're having their abortions here, and they're going home. So this is taking place in our state, and I think most of these people, most of the men that I talk to, believe that in some small way, abortion should be rare, safe, and legal. Whether that's the first 10 weeks or whatever it is, nobody likes late-term abortions. Nobody thinks we've been doing it the right way. Nobody likes the way it's going in Kansas. So these are all Republican voters. Everybody that I talked to were Republican voters, but they all believe, there's maybe one exception in the group. There was one exception in the group who's like, no, no abortions, no, ban it all. Most of them were like, it should be private, it should be safe, and it should happen very early in the pregnancy. And they'd be okay with that. But they don't understand what's on the ballot. They don't know what they're voting for. It's confusing as hell. I mean, there's no other way to say it. This is not a law we're passing in Kansas. This doesn't regulate anything. It simply says that the Supreme Court or the Constitution of Kansas doesn't say anything about abortion. And because it doesn't say anything about abortion, we believe the legislature should have to pass laws that the people of Kansas can decide. So I'm going to read you how this is really confusing. This is what's on the ballot. I printed it out. Here it is. Here's the question. You will vote yes or no. 22, regulation of abortion. Because Kansans value both women and children, the Constitution of the state of Kansas does not require government funding of abortion and does not create or secure a right to abortion. To the extent permitted by the Constitution of the United States, the people, through their elected state representatives and state senators, may pass laws regarding abortion, including, but not limited to, laws that account for circumstances of pregnancy resulting from rape or incest, or circumstances of necessity to save the life of the mother. Then you have two boxes, yes or no. This is what they're trotting out in front of people. I don't know that I would think if this were clearer and plainer and easier to understand, I have no doubt that conservatives will win this vote. The confusion that I got last night talking to these people about what this is, hearing from them, they don't know whether to vote yes or no. I'll be honest with you. I know a lot of people that will read that and still not know whether to vote yes or no. It's a yes vote. It's a yes vote. It takes it away from the Supreme Court, puts it back in the legislature, and says we can enact laws. That's what we want. At every turn, that's what we want. We're a republic. We send representatives to vote on our behalf. most people listening to this podcast are conservative or Republicans, or at least you're a centrist somewhere in the middle, open to things like this. And you believe in representatives voting on your behalf. That's what you want. You don't want courts ruling things. There's nothing in the Kansas Constitution about abortion. It's just like the U.S. Constitution. There's nothing there. The court overturned Roe v. Wade because there's nothing in the Constitution about abortion. They sent it back to the states and said, states, enact your own laws. This question, this is an amendment to the Constitution of Kansas on abortion that says the court will not rule on abortion. The people of Kansas will vote on it. That's what this says. And I'll be damned if people are going to read this and understand it. Because I just read it to you, and you didn't like me reading it to you. You didn't even like hearing it, let alone standing at the ballot box reading it. You have to know going in which way you're going to vote. The answer for us is vote yes. Take it away from the court. Let the legislature enact laws. What those laws are, I don't know. Again, I think there's going to be give and take. I don't think Missouri is going to stay with their abortion ban. I think there's going to be a lot of Republicans that we can call rhinos or whatever you want to call them. There's going to be a lot of Republicans that hear from their constituents that say, put something, put a law in place, okay? Make abortions safe, legal, and rare. Most people, again, I know this can be offensive to a lot of you that want no abortions for religious reasons. I get all of that. I'm with you. I'm with your moral stance. I'm with you. Most people in America, and we are a representative democracy, a republic, most people in America believe that it is okay to do this if you do it early and you do it safe and it's rare. We got to beef up adoptions. We got to encourage women to carry these babies and give them up for adoption. There's so many layers to all of this. We'll see how it plays out. I just was stunned. I hope you found that interesting. And if you bring it up with people, if you live in Kansas and you bring it up, I'm telling you, people don't know which way to vote. They don't. I'm keeping this sheet until after August 2nd. There is no vote in November, by the way. This is it. August 2nd is it. It's it. That's it. There's nothing in November. Whether you're a Republican or Democrat, doesn't matter. If you go vote in the primary, you're voting on this amendment. And I would strongly recommend, if you're voting in Kansas, that you vote yes. It's a strong recommendation. But I'll be darned if people are going to know. If you just go in there, who knows what happens in these cases? There's going to be a lot of people go in there to vote for their primary candidate, for governor or whatever, you know. And then they're going to see this question. Do you know how many guessers there are in the world? Do you know how many people go and vote and just guess? Like all through the years, we've guessed at school boards, judges, things like that. We guess. How do we guess? We like their name. I don't know. It doesn't say Republican or Democrat. It's ridiculous. I have gotten to the point where I pass. I don't vote for anybody. If I don't know and it doesn't say Republican or Democrat, I pass. I don't guess. I don't guess anymore. I think guessing is just way too dangerous. Way too many things and circumstances can take place. On a side note to the unfettered abortions in Kansas taking place right now, Kansas is basically California, New York. Kansas right now as it stands today is as liberal with abortions as any place in America. It's unbelievable. In an overwhelmingly conservative state, it is this way because of the Kansas Supreme Court. The liberals have the majority of the Kansas Supreme Court, which is fine as long as the Supreme Court of Kansas isn't making the laws. The legislature needs to do that. And that's where we're going. Now, if you live in Kansas City, Missouri, the city council in Kansas City, Missouri, wants to vote on a resolution for employees of the city. If you work for Kansas City, Missouri, we, the city, are going to give you $300 to go to Overland Park and get your abortion. The city council of Kansas City, Missouri is now saying, we'll give you $300 to get your abortion. You can go to Overland Park and get it done. There's also free bus rides from Kansas City, Missouri to Overland Park, very near the abortion clinic, where you can go get your abortion. It's right now for Kansas, It's like a tourism industry. Everybody's like, go to Kansas, go to Kansas, go to Kansas. If you live in Springfield or Joplin, go over to Pittsburgh. Get your abortion. You live in Oklahoma, go. It's unbelievable. This is remarkable what's taking place. I just can't believe they're so brazen and so liberal in Kansas City, Missouri. Private companies, look, there's a lot of layers to the private companies doing this, not the least of which employees having babies is lost time, maternity leave, and then healthcare costs go up for the company because we've added another person. The sick thing, the rude thing about these companies saying, hey, we'll help pay your travel to abort your baby is it saves them time and money. It's pathetic, but it does. They're hiding behind, oh, we're all for reproductive rights and women, you know, we're just trying to help people, you know, have health care. Yeah, well, it's good for your company too, that she's not going to miss 6 months of work and you don't have another kid in your healthcare system you got to pay for. They know this. There's always a productivity and profit component to everything these corporations do. Always. But Kansas City, Missouri, City Council, saying they're going to take government money, tax dollars, from people completely opposed to abortion, religious, people of faith, that are completely against any and all abortions. Now Kansas City, Missouri wants to take those tax dollars from these people and pay for city employees to go to Overland Park and get abortions? Man, I'm completely against the government funding abortion. It's just sickening to me. Planned Parenthood and the money we spend on that, it's all just makes me sick. It makes me sick that they can take our tax dollars and do things like that, that we clearly don't want them to be doing. Hey, I'll tell you a good option for healthcare. That's North Kansas City Dental. I met a gentleman at this golf league last night that is a dental supplier. He's in sales, and he does business with Dr. Bill Bush, and he says he's unbelievable. He says every time we come out with something new, Dr. Bush wants it. He always wants the best and latest equipment. That's why NKC Dental is on the cutting edge and wins awards for dentistry every year. Dr. Bush is your new dentist. Online at NKC Dental. His practice is just across the river in North Kansas City. He's also got an office in Westwood near the plaza in Kansas. Call 816-471-2911 and schedule your appointment with Dr. Bill Bush at North Kansas City Dental. Online at nkcdental.com. Merriam Body Shop and the new car image, a new level of service. Justin's our guy over there. If you get involved in a fender bender, merriambodyshop.com is the website. Or if you'd like to get a gift certificate for somebody's birthday or an anniversary or something like that, they have gift certificates for complete custom detailing that leaves your car better than new at the new car image, part of Merriam Body Shop. These are wonderful gifts to give to a spouse, a friend, somebody for a birthday, your mom. Do it. Online, merriambodyshop.com or thenewcarimage.com. Hopefully you don't get in that fender bender. One way to keep from doing it is to drive safely. Doesn't prevent all accidents. But Doug Horn is spending a great deal of time with the podcast this summer with a tremendous public service announcement, and that is you can download free his book, Teen Driver Protection. It's all about being positive when you teach your kids how to drive or your grandkids or get this, for someone you know. The highest degree of care driving a motor vehicle is what we owe each other every time we drive. Doug would like you to know that the best way to teach young people is through positive reinforcement. Be positive at every turn and ride with them. After they get their permit, whatever, just go for a ride with them. See how they're doing. The first 1,500 miles are critical. You want your teen driver to be alert, buckled, cautious, and defensive. A, B, C, D. It's a positive forming approach. Instead of telling teen drivers what not to do, encourage them for the great things they're doing when they drive. It's all online at hornlaw.com. Teen Driver Protection is a free booklet. Get it today at hornlaw.com. All right, on to sports. We had an interesting thing happen at Kauffman Stadium on Tuesday night. Vinny Pasquantino was called up on Monday from the minors. And I don't know if it's because of all of the movie history in this country with Italians, Italian-Americans, you know, Rocky, the Godfather movies, all these different things. I don't know what it is. Royals fans were clamoring for Big Vinny to get up here. Vinny Pasquantino just sounds like a guy you want to root for. Something crazy happened. Almost 20,000 people at the K on Tuesday night. Pasquantino comes up for his first at bat. He gets a standing ovation. This is not some heralded number one draft pick. It's not what this is. He gets a standing ovation. He swings at the first pitch and grounds into a double play. He did hit the ball 106 miles an hour on that double play, which is pretty strong. Pasquantino said after the game, he'd never in his life experienced anything like the standing ovation. And he said, quote, "That's usually reserved for the Bobby Witts of the world, not the Vinny Pasquantinos." That's exactly right. So Royals fans are tuned in. They know who he is. He got the standing O. He went 0 for 4. The Royals lost 8-3. They were dreadful. At every turn, they were dreadful in this game. They were not good. But get this. The Royals sold 3,500 walk-up tickets on Tuesday night. Walk-up tickets are almost a thing of the past. This is more than double what they normally do. They normally sell about 1,500, I think. So the dude playing, they think, actually led to 2,000 more tickets being sold. That's unbelievable. Are those hardcore baseball fans that want to say, "I was at Vinny Pasquantino's first game," in case he becomes a Hall of Famer someday? I don't know. Is it intrigue? There were some Italian flags in the stands. Were these Italian Americans? What was this? I don't know what this was, but it was amazing. He got a rousing standing O. There were Italian flags in the stands. And the Royals sold 3,500 walk-up tickets. Of course, you can't fix bad. As I mentioned, the Royals were dreadful, and they lost 8-3. We'll keep our eye on Vinny, who went 0 for 4. He did hit that first ball hard. It's a double play, but he smacked it. First pitch he saw in the big leagues, he hit 106 miles an hour. That's usually pretty good, but he hit it right to the second baseman. So that didn't work. Interesting golf week, as the LIV Golf Tour is in Portland. Brooks Koepka, Patrick Reed, major champions, Pat Perez, multiple winner on the PGA Tour, had like a joint news conference or news sessions with the media in Portland. Brooks Koepka's got four major championships. Patrick Reed's a Masters champion. The number two amateur in the world, Eugenio Lopez from Oklahoma State, he was returning to Oklahoma State next year to play college golf, and he has joined the LIV Tour. This is what they believe is a surefire professional golfer, that he's going to be great. He's the number two amateur in the world. He has signed on with the LIV Tour. He said it's one of those trains that passes once in a lifetime. He was going to go back to Oklahoma State. The LIV Tour said, "Wow, this great college golfer here is going to be a star. Let's sign him up right now." On the same day, the PGA Tour and the European Tour struck a new 13-year partnership, a new contract and deal for them to work together to keep the biggest stars. This thing is over. LIV is here to stay. They've only had a tournament, but now they're in the U.S. They're going to have five tournaments in the U.S. They've got all these big-name players playing in it. This week on the PGA Tour, the John Deere Classic. The favorite at the John Deere Classic. This is how the field is on the regular PGA Tour. The field is so weak that the favorite this week is Adam Hadwin. Second favorite, JT Poston. Third favorite, Webb Simpson. That's the PGA Tour. Meanwhile, Phil, Sergio, Brooks Koepka, they're all going to be over here playing in the LIV thing out in Portland. They've signed the number two amateur in the world. It's here to stay. The PGA Tour and the European Tour got together on a 13-year deal. They better start thinking about sitting down with the LIV Tour and figuring out how everyone can do this together, that they can all be part of this in some way. There's some craziness going on right there. There's no craziness with Amazing Garage Floors online at amazinggaragefloors.net. It's for people with concrete. You got a concrete garage? How about a new garage floor? You have concrete driveway, sidewalk? They'll put Seal XP on it and add years of life to your concrete. Amazinggaragefloors.net for people with concrete. Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, online at joslynsjewelry.com. Joslyn's the jewelry you'll recommend to your friends and family. And Great Life KC, you want to play more golf? Play it at a Great Life course. Log on to find one of the many courses in the Kansas City area at greatlifekc.com. Canyon Farms, Falcon Ridge, Prairie Highlands, Staley Farms, Tallgrass in Wichita, Osage National at the Lake of the Ozarks. For more information on joining or just playing your favorite course, call 913-802-4400. 4552 online at greatlifekc.com. I'm going to play more golf. We're doing a staycation this weekend. We'll be going to the Kenny Chesney concert on Saturday night. I can't wait for this. We have, we've got a lot of reasons to stay home this weekend. We had offers to go places, do things, whatever. We got some family things going on. So we're staying around, and I think I'm going to play at least a couple of rounds of golf and go to the Chesney show. So that's kind of fun. I like leaving Kansas City and taking vacation in the winter. I think summers here are fantastic. I think there's just so much to do. And of course, we love to play golf. So I'm going to be playing Falcon Ridge on Friday, Canyon Farms on Monday, and I may see you at Arrowhead on Saturday night. We're a little concerned that Dan and Shay are going to be right before Kenny Chesney. I am not a fan of Dan and Shay. I like Old Dominion. They're playing early. But it looks like maybe this Carly Pierce is going to play, then Old Dominion, which is a very good band, then Dan and Shay, which will put me to sleep, then Kenny Chesney. I don't know how Dan and Shay fit into a Chesney concert. It just doesn't work for me. I don't know if you know who they are or whatever. They're talented guys. They're good people. One of them is married to a woman from Kansas City. They got a lot of connections to KC. They're a big deal. But, man, they're just a chick band. That's it. And this crowd's going to be half men at Arrowhead. Dan and Shay, not my thing. I respect them. I admire them. They're, by all accounts, really good people. I don't know how they fit into a Kenny Chesney concert. But I'll let you know next week if they did. I will also let you know if I'll be, we're in the club level. We waited 3 years. So I sprung for the expensive tickets. I bought the club level. We figured it would be 100 degrees, but it doesn't look like it's going to be. But if you get hot, you can go inside in the air conditioning and hang out for a while. And we've been making jokes all along. When Dan and Shay come out, we'll go inside. But I'll watch them. I'll give them a chance. I'll give Dan and Shay a chance. Chesney's outstanding. My friend Tina, she listens to the podcast. She sends a video yesterday. She's so excited. She's the biggest Kenny Chesney fan you ever met. She does one of these things where, you know, I don't do it on my phone. They have the app that makes your face all distorted and you look funny. You know, it changes your eyes. Well, she made her mouth bigger than the rest of her head. And then Chesney was on the radio and she's sitting in her car and she's singing along, but she's not really singing along. It's just her mouth moving. And she's bopping back and forth, and it is the weirdest, funniest thing ever. And, of course, her text that goes along with it is, I can't wait for Saturday! She's so excited. We're so excited to be going to see Kenny Chesney. I say the name wrong. I've said Chesney forever, and he says Chesney. I don't think people know that. You would think that would be two S's. It is Kenny Chesney. And if you get a chance to go or you have a ticket available to you, go Saturday night. You will love it. It is a lot of fun, and Arrowhead's a cool place for a show like that. It's a totally different concert experience. 60,000 people, it's crazy. It's nuts. But this will be a fun time. We're looking forward to that on Saturday night. We're also looking forward to crossing over 20,000 daily subscribers to KKHI. You're right on the cusp of that. If you tell somebody today to hit the like or follow or subscribe button, that's free. Find somebody and tell them to do it. Get this thing across 20,000. I want to do that before the weekend. Let's cross 20,000 together at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.